Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another week of our Psalms devotionals in the morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning. It is Labor Day, and I hope you're having a good day, and hope you're looking forward to our 3 days of devotionals in the Psalms this week. We're going to be in Psalms 89, 90, and 91. So 89 is actually the last psalm of Book 3. And then 90 and 91 begin Book 4. Book 3 of the Psalms is dominated by laments, by communal lament. So, and we'll see that in Psalm 89, which brings the book to a close. There is this cry of the community. But it's also a beautiful picture for us because it is a looking to God through the Davidic covenant, through the covenant that God made with David, and that's a covenant that is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. And then as we switch to Book 4, we have actually a Psalm of Moses for Psalm 90 on Wednesday, and then Psalm 91. Book 4 becomes largely more positive, more outward-looking to the nations, more praise-oriented. And so that will be sort of the transition as we go from Book 3 to Book 4 of the Psalms this week. But Psalm 89 is a long one, so let's pray, and then we'll get into the text. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for blessing us with another day of life. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we've been able to enjoy these days. Thank you for the change of seasons that Labor Day represents to us as we say goodbye to summer and head into fall, and we anticipate the start of a new school year and all that comes with this change of pace, change of season of life, shifting from summer to fall. We thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to read your word and to think about it and to meditate on it, to pray to you about it. We pray that you would take Psalm 89 this morning and that you would write it on our hearts, that you would be faithful to teach us as your people and engrave on our hearts your words of life, that we might hear from you and that we might live for you. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 89 is a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. I don't think we know who Ethan the Ezrahite is exactly, except he was probably a disciple of Ezra the scribe from the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, who probably was the one who compiled the Psalms, by the way. At least the first compilation of the Psalms after the return from exile was probably done by Ezra. Okay, Psalm 89. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations, Selah. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord, a God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all who are around him? O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crush Rahab like a carcass. You scatter your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you created them. Tabor and Hermon, joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted, for our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him. I will strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand upon the sea, and his right hand upon the rivers. He shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation, and I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm. I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. But now, you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword. And you have not made him to stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol, Selah? Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Now that is a very long and very compelling psalm. It begins with such praises to God. You've probably heard words from the first dozen or 14 verses of Psalm 89 in hymns and worship songs. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Again, there's that chesed. We've commented on that several times. But this is that great attribute of God that I think is the thread that runs through the Psalms, and it is also the attribute of God which is fulfilled and personified and embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the covenant faithful love of God to his people, and he is ultimately the answer to the cry of Psalm 89. But Psalm 89 begins by worshiping God for who he is and for what he has promised, what he has said. Right? Our worship of God is not to be according to our feelings or according to our desires or according to our expectations and dreams. Our worship of God is to be according to who he is and who he has revealed himself to be, what he has promised and what he has done. So we can look at the character of God, the attributes of God, the words of God, the promises of God, and the deeds, the mighty deeds of the Lord, all as the foundation of our worship to God. That way our worship is what God has shown us and what we are offering back up to him. Here is the faithful character of God and his promise. And the promise is the Davidic covenant. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. And so in response to God's promise, there is praise. God promises, we praise him for his promise. Who is like God? No one. So if ever it seems like God is not keeping his promise or has not kept his promise, which is really the background of Psalm 89, it really is a lament, even though it's a very worshipful lament. We know it's a lament because as we get toward the end of the psalm, we get that very familiar refrain from the laments, "How long, O Lord?" And so it is a lament. It's looking to God with the Davidic covenant on the lips and then looking around and saying, where, O Lord, do we see the fulfillment? So aren't there times in our lives when we think God has promised, you know, peace that surpasses all understanding? My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives to you, right? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, right? I will be with you. Cast your cares upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and I will give you rest to your souls. So Jesus has promised us peace, and he's promised us his presence, and he's promised us rest. And aren't there times when we look around in our lives and we think, where are the promises of God? Where are they? Because I'm not experiencing them. I'm not feeling them. I'm not living them. Well, when we have times like that, we do need to reorient ourselves first by worship, which is what Psalm 89 shows us to do. And first by rehearsing the promises of God in worship. And so he just continues to worship God for his power and his strength. It is certainly not the case that God is unable to keep his promises. Things haven't come to a point where we think, oh, things are so bad and things are so far gone that God can't keep his promises. No, he is strong. He is mighty. Nor is it the case that God no longer wants to keep his promises because he's righteous and just. His steadfast love and faithfulness are there. They are rock solid. They are the foundation of his throne. They go before him. There's no way God has changed his mind and has said, well, I promised it before, but now, you know, I'm just not going to keep the promise. So it's not the case that God is too weak to keep his promise. It's not the case that God doesn't want to keep his promise. We are those who have received the promises of God, and we are blessed. And so we need to worship him. We belong to God. And yet, worshiping him and remembering who he is, remembering what he's spoken, doesn't keep us from being very honest with God. And in this case, Psalm 89 is very honest with God about the very specific and very clear Davidic covenant that God made with his people. And we don't have time to rehearse all of this, but the language is so clear. And what's clear is God has made an unshakable, absolute promise to his people that they will have a descendant of David to sit on the throne, ruling over them and over the nations, And God will not fail to keep that promise. Listen to what he says about him. He will be established as the highest of the kings of the earth, of the firstborn. He will be forever on the throne. And even if his children are sinful and God has to discipline them, see, one of the things that they could have said after the exile is, well, we just sinned too much. We sinned too much, and so God withdrew the Davidic covenant from us. Well, that's not the case at all. You can't sin so much as to have God withdraw his covenant promise, because he knows that you're going to sin, and he disciplines your sin, but he doesn't remove his promise. I will not violate my covenant. It's an absolute, unshakable, faithful promise of God. And so, after having rehearsed it, we have this "but now." Sometimes in the Bible, when you get to "but now," it's an incredibly positive and joyful turn, right? Things are so bad, we're so sinful, we're so dead in our sins and trespasses, but God, or but now, we were so far from God, but now we've been brought near. This is the opposite. We have this great promise of God, we have this great covenant, this unshakable promise of God, but now you have cast off and rejected. And he goes through all the things that God's people have suffered in their being cast off and in their being rejected. And he simply wants to know, how long, O Lord? You've made this promise. How long will it be until you keep it? And of course, we know the answer, because we live on this side of the cross. We live on this side of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. The answer is that God has answered Psalm 89 with his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is enthroned in heaven as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the highest of all the kings, the King of all the kings. He rules over all the nations, and he is returning in glory. He is returning in glory. So our "how long" is different from Ezra the Ethan the Ezrahite. I almost said Ezra the Ethanite. Ethan the Ezrahite. It's different from his "how long." His "how long" was still waiting for that first coming of Jesus to be revealed as the promised Son of David and the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. We have a "how long," but our "how long" is the "how long" that we find in Revelation. "How long, O Lord? Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly," because we want to see his reign consummated and his glory revealed. We know who he is. We know where he reigns. We know that he is the fulfillment of all of God's covenant promises. But we long to see him face to face. So when we pray Psalm 89, it should be of great encouragement to us, because where Ethan the Ezrahite was in Psalm 89, feeling so cast off and rejected and feeling like the covenant promises have not been kept, we know they've been kept. We know they've been fulfilled. As 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, as many as are the promises of God, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. Whatever God has promised, he's answered it yes in Christ Jesus. So we can rejoice in that. But we're still longing. And so we still pray Psalm 89 as those who are now longing for the coming again of Jesus, that we might see him face to face, that sin and death might be no more, that this evil world might be overthrown and King Jesus be established in glory forever and ever with a glorious reign that will never dim or diminish. So if you're struggling today to see the reality of the promises of God in your life, then I would urge you, remember who God is and worship him for who he is. Remember what God has spoken and thank him and praise him for what he has spoken. Remember what God has done in Jesus Christ and how all of his promises are yes and amen in Christ, and worship him for that. And then long. Long to see Jesus face to face. Cry out to God, "Oh, how I long for Jesus to return. Come quickly, Lord Jesus." That is a God-honoring way to handle when you are feeling overwhelmed or uncertain or cast adrift or questioning. And Psalm 89 helps us to pray in that way. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you are great and you are good. Your power is unmatched, unrivaled, unshakable. There's no one like you, and there's no one who can ever threaten you. You are God Almighty, and you are good. Your steadfast love never fails. Your faithfulness never comes to an end. The foundation of your throne is righteousness and justice. You are good, and you do good, always. Father, you have spoken in your word your promises to us. And every promise you have given is yes in Christ Jesus our Lord. But oh, how we long to see Jesus face to face. Oh, how we long for that day when sin will be no more and death will be no more and shame will be no more. For the old things are passing away, and the eternal kingdom of glory is coming. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining me this morning. I hope it was an encouragement to you, and I look forward to our time together on Wednesday morning as we go through Psalm 90. Have a wonderfully blessed day in the Lord.